23 minutes to the top of the hour. Just to put it in perspective and tell you where we're coming from, did a daybreak yesterday morning on marriages and, you know, that it's supposed to be a covenant, first and foremost, between the Lord God Almighty and then between you and your spouse, and that God ultimately hates divorce. So there are things that's really important before you get married. You should speak about things like bills, parenting styles, happiness, childhood traumas, past experiences, health, beliefs, religion, likes, dislikes, fear. The list is just going on and on and on. And then it is said that when the guy got married in 74, he said to his wife, "I love you." And then he said, "Oh, I'll let you know if anything changed in the meantime." Now, we're in 2024 and marriage is in shambles. Christians are struggling. Had a email, WhatsApp yesterday from somebody that said, "The marriage that I'm stuck in is absolutely sheer hell." That's how the person described it on a Christian radio station. So I thought it well to get somebody who spent many, many hours, days, months, and years in the counseling room counseling couples who are struggling in their marriage. Pastor Alan Lester. Alan, warm-hearted good morning to you. Welcome to Radio Pulpit. How are you keeping?
Yeah, morning, Vaina. It's nice to hear you again, man.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Are you happily married?
Oh, man, I was. My wife is in glory. Yeah. So she's happily married right now. Yeah.
Alan, thank you so much for your willingness to chat to us this morning. And at this point, I want to ask our listeners, if you've got a question, as jy 'n vraag het vir oggend oor jou huwelik, miskien is dit 'n konflikresolusie, enigiets wat jy wil hê ek moet vir Alan vra, and how do we deal with this? Then you can send it to WhatsApp, 082-657-2729. 082-657-2729. And I'll be forwarding those questions to Alan. Alan, why are Christian marriages struggling so much? What is the cause of it?
Yeah, you know, one thing that I keep seeing again and again is with marriage, people enter into marriage very easily and they sign a contract without realizing the, you know, what that contract says. Like you were saying just now, that marriage is a covenant, and it's a covenant of companionship. And a lot of people don't even think about what that covenant means. They don't realize what they're committing themselves to when they get married. So they think marriage is easy, go sailing in. You know, first couple of weeks or months are great, and things begin to go south. And it's because guys just really don't know what marriage is all about, you know, what they're committing themselves to.
Why does marriages go south? What is it that euphoria that goes away, that romanticism, that feeling of that warm, fuzzy feeling? What are the causes? Is it the reality, finances, setting up a house when you're back to normal life? What are the reasons? What do people say in the counseling room? What is the reason for relationships going south?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's actually very primitive. It's a primitive reality that men, you know, when they get married, they tend to want a woman because, you know, it's a male-female issue that men want a woman. And men are quite happy to have a woman who is a soft companion, who does what they tell her to do. And a woman is looking for a guy who, even though she knows he wants her physically, she's willing to comply as long as she is safe and she's provided for and she gets the life that she wants. And when those two dreams begin to crash, you know, that a man realizes that this woman's beginning to resist him because she's not getting what she wants. And then she's looking at this guy and saying to him, "Hey, this guy's not fulfilling my dream, you know, providing for me materially or keeping me safe or cherishing me. I'm not going to give him what he wants." And of course, what you were saying, you know, the money and the sexual relations are the key issues that are always at the heart of messed up marriages.
So at the end of the day, what is important? Surely we're speaking, they say people listening to Radio Pulpit this time of the morning, the age group 35 to around about 55, 60 years old. So one would imagine that you are speaking to people who are married, been married for a long time. Yesterday morning, I asked people to send in a WhatsApp. I didn't ask them about their problems. I just said, if you're unhappy in your marriage, just send in the word me. Simply send in the word me. You know what blew me away? The majority was female who sent it in, who said, me, me, me. My WhatsApp line just started scrolling, running like a telegram machine of old. Woman... Do we as men, have we missed it altogether? What would you say to men this morning? Because there's a lot of unhappy women in marriage out there.
Yeah, that's my experience. Mostly it's women that come to me, you know, unhappy wives in messed up marriages. The primary thing is that men, when they commit themselves to marriage, they honestly don't commit themselves to serving their wives sacrificially, and so many marriages are completely unaffectionate, you know, that men think that their wives are responsible for love in the relationship, you know, because they're the woman, they're the gentle one, you know, they're supposed to be loving and kind, but men have, they don't even realize before they get married that it's the men primarily biblically who are responsible for generating love and affection in the marriage. And men fail at that. They look at their wife, they stare at their wife because she's failing. Meanwhile, it's their responsibility. So men are, honestly, men are so selfish with women in marriages. They run over them. They don't care about the fact that they're gentle and they need to be cared for and cherished. Yeah. Yeah. And mostly, when I'm married, 25 years of marriage, I've seen men absolutely abusing women like that in marriage.
I want to ask you a question, because ultimately the we understand that we're speaking to many Christians this morning, and we've touched on it yesterday morning, 1 Peter chapter 3, and the very last verse in chapter 3, I'm talking about chapter 7, it says that if you don't treat your wife as an equal, if you don't respect her, God won't even listen to your prayers.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that scripture.
It's dreadful, man. Yeah, and I think if we actually need to take a step further back, and if we look at God's design for marriage in Genesis 1 and 2, we see that marriage really is quite a different thing to what people think it is. So if this man has got to the point where God is not hearing his prayers because he's not treating his wife gently and compassionately, he's completely forgotten about the marriage design in Genesis. And, you know, as you were saying in your introduction, that marriage, honestly, it looks at God. God creates man. God creates woman. You know, firstly, that's a relationship between the man and God, the woman and God. You know, without that, when a man and woman come together, if they don't acknowledge God from the start, marriage is going to be miserable, because then the man or the woman ends up being God for themselves in their marriage. You know, I must be worshipped. I must be, yeah. My needs must be cared for. So it's a godless thing, man. When God is pushed out of a marriage, it's no wonder that God is going to allow people to suffer until they're on their knees and they come back to God and restore that relationship.
Because ultimately, God is interested in that covenant. God is interested in that marriage. And ultimately, we stand before him. We make covenant with him. What about, you know, we have these warm, fuzzy feelings. We're young, we're stupid, we get married, and we don't talk about these things. You know, simple stuff. You AGS, I'm NG, or Dopper, or whatever. And once we get married, there's this conflict of... And I'm just using religion as an example. You know, I'm not going to your church. You don't come to mine. And immediately there's conflict about it. Sometimes one of the spouses only come to be reborn and rebirthed once they married because of hard times, and now you're stuck with a spouse that's an unbeliever. How do you treat that? What do you how do you get somebody like that into a counseling room and says, well, there is hope for your marriage?
Yeah, I think, like we were saying just now, from God's design for marriage in Genesis 1 and 2, that the hope for me is always firstly to generate hope within the individual.
Yeah.
For their, you know, for them to find joy in their sufferings, in spite of all of that difficulty. That's the reality. That's the starting point, is that marriage can, you know, suffering becomes terrible when people are not using suffering as an opportunity for worship. So, for example, Romans 5, verse 3, remember Paul, after that amazing beginning to the chapter, verses 1 and 2, he says, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. And then he says, because we know that suffering produces perseverance,
yeah,
perseverance, character, and character, hope. So for me, the most loving thing to do for, let's just say this is a lady, which is normally the case, suffering in a miserable marriage, I love to lift her eyes up to glory in that way, to say that, okay, this is the situation. There's no other reality for you right now. The first resource is for you to come to see how God is using the suffering in your life. And I've seen women so transformed by taking their suffering as an opportunity for worship that it completely changes their experience of suffering in marriage. And then God sometimes uses that in order to bring those men to himself.
So there is hope. There is hope. So many this morning listening to this program in unhappy marriage relationships, there is hope. Changing your suffering into worship before the Lord, that's one bit of advice that you're giving. What else can you say? Because ultimately, the light in the tunnel shouldn't be an oncoming train. What else can you say that would give people hope this morning?
Yeah, absolutely, man. And I think that when you look at marriage, just going back again to Genesis 1 and 2, because that's the original design, the beautiful design, marriage is a communal institution, you know. So when we look at marriage, it's the closest relationship in known to man, even closer than blood relationships. So we see that in a man leaving his father and mother and being united to his wife, and the two become one flesh. I think it's wonderful that because marriage is a communal institution, that it fits inside of community. So for me, you know, when I encourage married couples, I always try and connect married couples to each other, people who are struggling. But I try to connect people who are having good marriages with people who are having very difficult marriages. And the struggling partner in a marriage can benefit immensely from having other people, community, relationships in the church, you know, other pastoral couples or couples in the church who are excelling. And over the long haul, those sort of unusual moments of suffering that make a partner in a marriage feel like their suffering is unique and no one else has ever experienced this, I think that being in touch with other more mature couples gives them the strength to go on, because they realize, oh, what I'm suffering is just like these people have suffered, but they've overcome in this way. So a communal focus on putting a marriage back together is priceless.
So not just a communal focus, but also what I'm hearing in between the lines, very important to be part of a body, a church where you are accountable to and where you can go for help. At what stage in your marriage? There's a younger generation that easily, when the toilet block, they sell the house. You know, when the light bulb blow, they sell the house. Get rid of it, walk out, because of the example that we as the older generation set. At what stage in a marriage should one go for professional help?
Yeah, and I think that even, like I said before, let's take that one step back. And I think that a marriage that is becoming more and more isolated is already in trouble.
All right.
You know, a marriage that is only about the couple, you know, because dating, you know, in our age, dating tends to be isolationist rather than inclusive. You know, it's going away together secretly, you know, being together alone. rather than being good friends in company with other people. And for me, that's, it's always a sign of trouble when a couple wants to isolate. So the trouble starts there. You know, if a couple cultivates an inclusive attitude, you know, with other, if they invite the community in from an early stage, they have a protection. So the point is that once a couple has become isolated, you know already that that's a sign that they need other people. I think what I tell pre-married couples as well is you need to make an agreement before you get married. If one of you says to the other one, we need counseling, that means that you automatically agree that you're going to go for counseling. You don't say, okay, let's discuss this. I get them to agree before they even start. If your wife says you need counseling, you have to agree. You have to agree right now. That's going to happen.
Well,
we make that from the start.
Yeah. You say that, but also we say jokingly, there are normally two people at a party. The one wants to go home and the other one wants to stay. And these two people are married to one another. I mean, it's conflict, you know, when you've been married for so, so long. This morning, I want to ask you this, Alan, is there hope for marriages in South Africa? There's a younger generation that says, well, the older guys, they've messed it up terribly. If we turn to the Lord, can the Lord Jesus Christ not just restore but make a marriage new? I'm talking new as that first time when you set eyes on her. Can the Lord Jesus do that in a marriage?
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. I've had to repent of looking at a marriage or looking at people who come to me for counseling and then thinking to myself, oh, this just doesn't look like we're going to come right with this one. Because I've seen such turnarounds, you wouldn't believe it, man. I've seen the Lord turn around marriages that I really thought were finished. And it's amazing, you know, that the change always begins. Every single time it begins with one person coming to God and finding joy in their Christian faith, and particularly in the fact that every moment of this marriage is an act of worship that will be rewarded in the age to come. You know, so it's an act of worship for now. If I'm going to suffer, let me suffer well. So in the beginning, I said to you, you asked me if I'm happily married. And unfortunately, you know, the Lord received my wife into glory in 2012. But as I sat in the car next to her, you know, I was trying to make it to the hospital with her in time before she died. And she died in the car seat next to me. And as she died, my first prayer was, Lord, help me to suffer well. And that was it. You know, the Lord helped me to look at this and say, this is the biggest grief I've ever suffered in my life. And the Lord helped me to suffer well. And I did that as an act of worship. You know, God, I'm in pain. Please help me to suffer well. Please help me to suffer as an act of worship. And I know that God is going to reward me for that. And I encourage ladies particularly, you know, if you're going to suffer, suffer well. You know, suffer as an act of worship, like I said in the beginning. And that, honestly, it transforms everything. It transforms suffering when your heart is in the right place. And that changes marriage.
Alan, can I ask you in closing? Would you submit marriages, those particularly in trouble this morning, to the Lord in prayer, just in closing, please?
Yeah, absolutely. Lord, we're so overwhelmed as we look around us in this world at the messed up marriages. Lord, you know how many marriages I've seen, you know, the misery that I've seen in marriages. And Lord, you know that people are honestly suffering. It's a terrible, terrible reality to be so closely linked with somebody who becomes your worst enemy. And Lord, we do not overlook all of the realities of this misery, but we pray tonight, pray today, Lord, that you would be able to, that you would take so many people who are listening to the show who are suffering in their marriages. And I pray, Lord, that you would be pleased to help them to stop, to set their eyes on Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that you would help them to suffer well, to say, Lord, if I'm going to suffer, help me to suffer well. And I pray, Lord, that as a secondary benefit, that you would help those people's wives or husbands to look at them and be surprised and say, what is going on? You know, what is moving this person? What's motivating this person? I want some of that. And I pray, Lord, that you would convict their spouses of sin, if it's insensitivity, if it's aggression, if it's lack of affection, if it's lack of submission to their husband. I pray, Lord, that you would convict them of sin. and bring them to the point where they realize that I'm going to change. I'm going to sacrifice for myself, for my wife, for my husband, and I'm going to honor God in this. Lord, I just pray that you would be pleased to do the unthinkable, what seems impossible, and completely change these marriages today. We just pray these things in Jesus' lovely name. Amen.
Amen. Alan Lester, if somebody wants to be in touch with you, email address, how do they get hold of you?
Yeah, my website is probably the best, graceunlimited.co.za.
Graceunlimited.co.za. Yeah. Thank you for sharing something out of your life and the vulnerability that comes with that. And I trust that through this prayer, men and women would suffer well this morning, not walk away and says, in spite of, I will keep covenant with the Lord first and foremost, and God will do a miracle here. Bless your heart, Alan. Thank you so much.
Thanks, brother.